Morning. Before we get into our Philippians series next week, we are going to do a review of the mission that the Lord gave His church. And it's we find it in Matthew chapter 28, and where we're going to begin with is in verse 16. A lot of times, maybe when you've memorized this passage, you've memorized it from 18 on. But one of the things that I have been encouraging other disciples of Jesus around me is to see that Jesus shared this great commission with His disciples. When Jesus appeared to His disciples on the mountain where He told them to go, there were some who worshiped Him, and even at this point, there were some who doubted. And it was to these 11 disciples that Jesus said, "All authority on heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded. And I will be with you." This is a promise. "I will be with you to the very end of the age." What we're going to do is unpack what that means for us as a church this morning. And really, where this comes out of is just me. I was praying about a very simple way for us to be able to see ministry together. And even for us to see it individually, but even more importantly, for us to see this in our small groups and then in the church at large. And that's this idea of disciple being both something that you are and something that you do. So a disciple, you be one and you make one. There's a story that Michelle was telling me. She was on the phone with her mom this week, and her mom gets Voice of the Martyrs magazine. And every month it highlights stories, and maybe you're on their email, and it highlights stories of what people are going through around the world. That as they are living out their Christian faith, many are being persecuted, many being arrested, many having their lives totally turned upside down, property being confiscated, and some actually giving their lives for the sake of Christ. And there's this one man that was, I forget whether she said that he was on his way to Mecca for the Hajj, he was on his way to pilgrimage, and he has a vision. And Jesus appears to him, and in this vision, he asks, "Who are you?" And in the vision, Jesus says, "Well, before I tell you my name, I want to warn you that if you decide to go this route, these are some of the things that are going to happen. You'll lose your two-year-old child, your two-year-old son." And he went through some other things, and you think of, you know, all the great and precious promises that we have in the scriptures that when we come to Christ, what is available to us. And yet there are these promises that when we follow Jesus, a lot of times we will face persecution. And he decided that he did want to give his life to Jesus Christ. And he was, once his family found out about his relationship with Christ, he was locked away for 18 months. And during that time period, wasn't it his wife, Hun, when he came back, when he was freed, he had something to share with her, but then she said, "Well, first I've got something to share with you. Jesus appeared to me in a vision, and I've given my life to Jesus Christ, and I don't know what you think about that," because she hadn't heard about what had happened to her husband. She thought that something had happened where he had to go and take care of business, and because this is what his dad had told her. But come to find out that both of them had given their lives to Christ during this time period. Our mission as a church is to make disciples. A lot of times we've thought about the numbers of people that show up on a Sunday morning and that being our mission, that we've got to fill pews. And yet Jesus says, "I want you to make disciples." And in fact, the only time that Jesus talked about the building or the growing of the church is when he said, "I," talking about him, Jesus, "I will build my church and the gates of hell will not stand against it." And so, as I was praying about the Great Commission, I'm thinking, okay, there's no better mission for a church to have than Jesus' Great Commission. And so I was really wanting a very simple way to encourage my friends in this faith family by looking at the Great Commission. And I was like, "Lord, just is there a simple way that we can see this?" And he highlighted four words out of this passage for me. One was pray. Another was go. The third was, at first I thought it was learn, but then in a conversation with Jeff, which I'll get to in a moment, it changed to teach. And then to do. And so we're going to unpack those this morning. That we would be a disciple and that we would make disciples, the kind of disciples that would pray, the kind of disciples who would actually go to others instead of expecting them to come to us, the kind of disciples who would immediately teach what Jesus is teaching them in their quiet times, and the kind of disciples who would actually put into practice the words of Jesus Christ. So the first word is pray. And when you look at this passage, you go, well, Jesus didn't command prayer in this passage. But just think about what the definition of prayer is. It's talking and having a conversation with God, right? And so what's Jesus doing with his disciples? When it comes down to it, he's having a conversation with them. He is sharing with them what the mission, what their mission is going to be. And so, and I thought about it this way. When Jesus gives these promises, he says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then it goes from that start to the end where he says, and I will be with you. So if you think about someone having all authority in heaven and on earth being with you physically, I would imagine you would get into a conversation with them, wouldn't you? Roger and Jan Frank will sometimes have a sub for them at the theater. And we had the privilege last December of going and watching the special on Motown, so all that wonderful Motown music. And so we're ushering, and it was right in the beginning, coming down my row, I'm like, well, I'll be darned, that's Bernie Smilovitz. And so, you know, I have a short conversation with him, and I give him the bulletin for what's to come during the show. And then down my row, oh, there's former Mayor Dave Bing. You know, have a little conversation with him and usher them down. And then it was intermission. And as we're standing out there and we're just there, we're not doing a whole lot except for being there for information, you know, where the restrooms are, that kind of thing, where you can get snacks, whatever. And I see former Mayor Dave Bing standing alone. And I'm thinking, wow, I want to go talk to him. Michelle, come on, let's. And so I wanted to make my way over and just to have a conversation with him. And you think about, you know, those people in life that, well, you know, authority figures or, you know, sports stars, that kind of thing. If you see them, John Lamers was talking about how he rented a car to one of the Detroit Lions players. And you think of the important people that you may want to meet, or you see them and you want to go have a conversation with them. And you think, man, what greater person could there be than the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth side by side with you, that you would have a conversation with him, that you would talk to him, that he would talk to you, that there would be this responsive two-way relationship between the two of you, and that the one you are talking to is not only your best friend. I love that Jesus calls us not just servants, but friends. But this is a friend who has all authority in heaven and on earth. You know what that means? That word authority is power. It's Jesus having jurisdiction to do whatever he wants, whenever he wants to do it, wherever he wants to do it, and in whomever he wants to do it, right? So in our prayer life, we ought to be thinking about going to the one who has all authority in heaven and on earth, so that when we come to someone and go, oh, Lord, I don't know if this person would ever come to know you. Well, Johnny, I've got all power in heaven and on earth. Oh, okay, cool. So I'm going to pray that this person comes to know you. It's amazing to me. Over my life, how many times I would see people who seemed so far away from the Lord give their lives to the Lord because we believe that the one that we pray to has all authority in heaven and on earth. And so we're going to that authority figure, but we're also with him. He wants us not just to come and ask prayer requests of him, but he also wants us to be with him. And I love that. because there have been times in my life where, even at Taylor University, where I had lots of friends and had those lonely times, right? And instead of trying to find relationships and other people, just going off and just being in the little prayer chapel and spending some time with the Lord, that promise that He is always with us is something that we desperately need on a day-to-day basis. And so we're praying to the one who has authority in heaven and on earth, and we're praying to one who is always with us. Now, what happens when we have a relationship like that is, a lot of times, because our God is on the go, you know, Jesus left His Father's throne above to come to be with us. Jesus existed before He was born. He was in glory with the Father before He appeared, before this great celebration that we had about Christmas. Our God is always on mission. He is the one who left heaven. He is the one who left His throne above to come on earth, to live among us and to die for us and to be resurrected in bodily form. And so when you have a relationship with God, He shares with you where He is going. So it's not just God saying, this is where I want you to go, but He is sharing with you where He is going and where He is already at work. I think about the story of Philip when he has this, you know, wonderful relationship with the Lord, and the Lord says, you see that man over there in the chariot? I want you to go talk to him. And so Philip walks over there and he finds the man. He's reading the scroll of Isaiah, and he asks him, do you understand what you're reading? Well, how can I understand unless somebody explains it to me? And so Philip begins to explain to him the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so because our God is already on mission, and since He is already going, when we have a relationship with Him that's a two-way conversation, He may whisper in your ear, hey, I want you to write a letter to that person. Or I want you to have this person over to your house. Or I want you to knock on their door and give them a loaf of cinnamon bread. I want you, go over there and just ask them, hey, you may find this to be weird, but I felt like I needed to come over and ask you if I could pray for you in any way. Wow. Yeah, you could pray for me. You know, when the Lord whispers in your ear to go somewhere, then what you're doing is you're following Him in where He is going. So a disciple prays and a disciple goes. I love the story that I just read this week, where an Iranian man, a Muslim man, came to faith in Jesus Christ. And part of his discipleship, his training in what it means to live out his life in Christ, was to shadow a couple as they went door to door and started to visit people. And they knock on this one door, and door opens up, and it's a teenage girl. And as soon as she sees them, she starts to cry. And they're thinking, well, what's going on? At first they're thinking, okay, something bad has happened, and they've kind of come to rescue here. And what they find is that she had been praying for months that God would give her a vision of Jesus. Well, that night in a dream, she gets this vision of Jesus, but it's not only just Jesus, it's three people sitting down and having a meal with her. And as soon as she opened the door and saw these three people, it were the three people in her vision. And can you imagine what it would do to a young believer who is shadowing a couple, and he sees this happen. He sees it before his eyes. And his training in what it means to be a disciple is not going to 4 years of Bible school. It's not going to 3 years of seminary. His training in discipleship is just simply going along with another couple and shadowing them in life and in ministry. And he is blown away by what God is doing. And this young lady comes to know Jesus Christ. Disciples, we pray, we go, we teach. Jesus said, teach them all I commanded. I've been reading a number of books on what it means to be a disciple. Some of you may remember the books that I've been referring to by David Platt, and the book on Multiply by Francis Chan, and all these wonderful books on what it means to be a disciple and what it means to disciple others. And I thought, if we're going to make it simple, especially, you know, the man in the opening illustration, For him to follow Jesus Christ is going to be different than it is for us to follow Jesus Christ. And our mission is to make disciples who make disciples. And so what would it mean for him then, just say, and I know it doesn't take much to imagine this, we are ministering to people where this is very real to them. If they decide to follow Jesus Christ, it could mean persecution. It could mean they're thrown out of their families. And what happens if this person, they have such a passion for Jesus Christ that they want to go back to their home country? What would they learn in us and through us as a church that they could go back and take to China? What could they learn and take back to Iran? What could they learn and take back to Iraq? And so I thought, you know, wow, Lord, there are all these wonderful books, and we could buy this series of books and take them through these books, and then they could buy this library of books and take... Well, hold on. What did Jesus say? Teach them... We'll get to obedience, but teach them all I commanded. Keep it simple. I want to add the fourth word. You know what the fourth word is. Keep it simple, right? And so, you know, what God was saying in that moment is just keep it simple. Give them the word. Take them through the word. Help them to study the word. Help them to understand the word. Help them to unpack what the word means. And so as they are learning and as you are learning the word, then you share what the Lord is teaching you. There's this great passage out of Matthew chapter 10, verse 27, where Jesus says, "What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roof." And so I take that to mean this, that when we are taking time to be with the Lord in our own quiet time, one of the ways that you can let somebody into your life is to actually let somebody into those quiet times. And you can do it this way. As you're reading the word and you're praying, "Lord, you know, give me understanding." And then you maybe define a word. Maybe you're pulling out your dictionary and you're just writing down all the different ways that this word can be translated. And then the Holy Spirit does something. And he makes that word come alive, and you get excited about it. And you go, "Oh, I didn't know this before." Or maybe it's a reminder. And so what you do is you take that, and then you immediately teach somebody else what you are learning. And all you're doing is you're going to the word, and whatever the Lord speaks to you, whispers to you in your ear, you then begin to share it with other people. Teach someone immediately what you are learning from Jesus. In fact, this is where Jeff and I had this conversation. So I was telling him, "Jeff, I think the way that I want to encourage disciples around me is that we would pray together, that we would go out together, that we would learn together, because in order to teach, you have to learn, and that we would do the words of Jesus, put it into practice." And Jeff said, "You know, I think we as Christians err on the side of learning so much that we never teach." And Jesus said in the passage anyway, so Jeff is helping me be more accurate with the passage, that it's about teaching. Yes, we got to learn in order to teach, but too many times we make the excuse, "I need to learn more." Don't we do that sometimes? "Oh, I want to be involved in a Bible study a little bit more, or I want to learn some more, or take this class." And so we're always thinking that we've got to learn more before we can teach something, but the fact is that any follower of Jesus can share something about Jesus. Any follower of Jesus can share something about Jesus. It can be as simple, and you've heard this illustration before, but the blind man, all he knew was that he was blind and now he can see. That's it. Or the testimony of the woman at the well. I mean, what kind of discipleship did she have, except that Jesus told her everything about her life, and she gets in this relationship that, "Oh, he's forgiving me for everything that I've done." She goes back to her hometown. The whole hometown wants to meet Jesus, and Jesus stays there for a couple days. Every disciple of Jesus can have something to share about Jesus. So you take what you are learning and you teach someone else. You pray, you go, you teach, and you do. Jesus said, there's where he says, "Teach them to obey everything that I have commanded." Jesus' words are to be lived out in practical ways in everyday life. And I love what some of the passages say about obedience. You remember what Jesus' half-brother James said? We did a series through James a couple years ago, but he says, do not merely listen to the words and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. And I love this relationship between when Jesus is teaching about a love relationship and obedience and the relationship that that has together. When he says out of the book of John, John records in chapter 14, verse 23, he says, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and we will come to them and make our home with them. That's awesome. Jesus is saying that when you put my words into practice, there is then this fellowship that takes place inside of you. Remember Paul talking about your body being the temple of the Holy Spirit. Nicole referred to it earlier in her prayer, that you don't have to go to this place or to that place or to this place or to that place in order to worship God, that true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. And so what Jesus is saying here is when there is this relationship of love and obedience, and he knows, you know, what it's like to struggle with the flesh. He knows what it's like to be tested, to be tried, to be tempted. Scripture said, though, he never fell, but he was tempted in every way that we were. He knows exactly what we are going through. But then he says that there is this relationship that takes place, that as you begin to allow me to be Lord of your life, allow me to be the authority in your life, that there is this fellowship that takes place and you grow closer to me as you love me and learn to love me by obeying me. And so we put this into practice. So my encouragement for us as a church is that this would happen in your individual lives, but my encouragement would have you take it a step further, that you would not only grow to be a disciple, but you would grow to make a disciple. And the way that you can do that is not just to pray for people, but to pray with people. Not just go to someone, but if you're going to go somewhere, take somebody with you. That when you teach and you're learning and you're spending time in your quiet time, you not only teach someone, but you encourage that person to then teach someone else. And then that there would be this accountability relationship that you would do, you would put into practice the words of Jesus, and it would not only be something that you do, but that you would encourage others, and you can simply say, hey, what is it you think that Jesus is wanting you to do in this next week, next month, this next year, and how could I be praying for you, and how could we hold each other accountable through this? Disciples who would pray, who would actually go to them and instead of expecting them to come to us, disciples who would immediately teach what the Lord is teaching them in their quiet times, disciples who would actually put into practice the words of Jesus and would be able to say, like one disciple said, the Apostle Paul once telling the Corinthians, follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. There's this relationship that he has with Jesus where he's following Jesus. In fact, isn't that the invitation that Jesus gives his disciples? Come, follow me. And so as Paul is following Jesus to the best of his Holy Spirit-filled life can do, he then is saying, listen, I know I'm not going to do this perfectly. In fact, there are times where I do those things I don't want to do and times when I do those things that I don't want to do. But follow me as I'm following after the example of Christ. There is this relationship that Paul has as a disciple, that he is a disciple, but then he is encouraging people to follow him as a disciple. My encouragement and challenge to you this year is not just on an individual level, but I want you to think through this with the different groups that we have, whether it's the men meeting on Monday nights, the group of us meeting on Wednesday nights, the group of ladies who meet during the week, the Sunday night Bible study, whatever it might be. How could you incorporate into these community life times where you are praying more together and maybe praying first so that prayer is not an afterthought? Or that you would actually go out together. What is one way that your small group together could go and do mission together? Are there people that you could call together as a group and maybe even invite them to the small group? Or maybe you're just simply going, hey, 2 to 4 of us are going to go and start visiting homes. What would it be like if you as a group were teaching one another, where it's not just one teacher, but you're teaching each other, and you're getting used to the idea of taking what Jesus is teaching you, whether it's Sunday mornings, whether it's in your small groups, or whether it's in your private times, and you are immediately teaching what the Lord is teaching you? And that there would be accountability, that our Monday night men's group wouldn't be the only place that we find accountability, but that in all the groups that we gather together, and maybe you just simply find an accountability partner where 2 of you would get together every week and just hold each other accountable and pray together and teach one another and disciple one another, that you this year would be praying, Lord, how do you want me to grow as a disciple? And you would be praying, who do you want me to grow as a disciple? I'm telling you, this is probably one of the most exciting things that I have ever done in my life, is when I've been able to come alongside of people, especially people who they have no background. And so they're asking questions like, what does it mean that Elizabeth was barren? You know, what does this mean? What, I don't get this, Johnny. What's, and your faith will grow so much more as you begin to share it with others. And I don't care how old you are, whether you're a teenager, whether you're a child, whether you're an older adult in this audience, the fact is that every follower of Jesus can have something to share about Jesus. Let's pray as we enter into our communion time together. Father, I'm pretty excited about this year and really excited about what took place this past year. Thank you for 2014. Thank you for the challenges. Thank you for the celebrations. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to hold on to this fact that you are always with us, especially as we go into this next year and we'll face new challenges together. But help us, Lord, to face them together, not to do it alone. Lord, I don't want any of us to go through life alone, to struggle alone. I pray, Father God, that all of us can have a relationship with someone where we are being discipled by them and that we are discipling someone else. Father, I pray that what you told a young leader in Timothy in the church of Ephesus, that we would be able to entrust these things that we have heard and we have experienced to faithful men and women who would then be able to pass it on to others. Father, it was your son who said that he would build the church and the gates of hell would not stand against it. We're leaving the building and the growing of this church up to you. We're leaving the growth of this body and this faith family up to you. And I pray, Father God, that those things that you have commanded us and instilled in us, we would pass that on to others. That we would be disciples of your son, Jesus Christ, and we would make disciples of your son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name, his awesome name, we pray. Amen.